Largest Gathering This, a program devoted to the fastest growing and now largest segment of society. To those of you who have come to realize that all of the world's political, religious, military, economic, and media institutions are corrupt, that they have all become counterproductive, and that they cannot be fixed. Our phone number, if you'd like to discuss any of these conclusions, is 877-300-7645. According to Reuters, a woman, a 10-year-old child, and a local quote-unquote Al-Qaeda leader were among at least 11 people killed alongside two Western hostages when United States forces fought Islamist militants in a failed rescue mission in Yemen. What in the hell are we doing? I mean, what right do we have to invade Yemen with our troops? I mean, America seems to think that it is the police force for the world. If there are captives in Yemen, let the Yemenites free the captives. They have a government. I mean, Yemen's supposed to be a real state. I mean, we're declaring the Islamic State not a state, and yet they have the ability to kidnap and free kidnapped hostages. What is the United States saying by this? That Yemen, you're completely incompetent, that we're the only competent country in the world, so we're going to invade your country with our military to deal with the kidnapping of a hostage? And that we're so incompetent in actuality that we leave 11 people dead, including the two hostages, one of which we didn't even know was there? I've long stated that the United States has absolutely no capacity whatsoever to know what is happening in the fundamentalist Islamic world. America's intelligence community is completely ignorant of Islam and has zero resources, none, embedded amongst fundamentalist Muslims. And in this case, one of the two hostages we didn't even know was there, and the other was scheduled to be freed within 24 hours. The ransom had been paid. The arrangements had been made. All we did was see to his death. Incompetent U.S. Special Forces raided the village of Dafar in the Shabwa province, a stronghold for fundamentalist Muslims in southern Yemen. Did so shortly after midnight under the cover of darkness on Saturday, killing, according to this article, several members of Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, AQAP. Now, the fact of the matter is that at its absolute zenith, there were about 200 members of AQAP. And of those 200 members, the leader, the founder of Al-Qaeda of the Arabian Peninsula, was an American. Americans, without due process, ignoring the Constitution, ignoring international boundaries, murdered him. Now, everyone in the Defense Department of any consequence, everyone in the U.S. intelligence community of any consequence, everybody in the administration in Washington, the White House of any consequence, knows that when we murdered Osama bin Laden and members of his family, and confiscated his correspondence, that it was shown without equivocation that there was no connection between the Al-Qaeda of Osama bin Laden and the AQAP organization. That Osama bin Laden repudiated them. And that the American Islamic cleric who chose that name only did so because he knew that it would garner attention on search engines, and his primary means of outreach was online. He wrote letters. He posted sermons. He published an online magazine. AQLP is primarily an online manifestation. Now, America has sent drones, now special forces, into and over Yemen to kill at least 200 of these AQAP members. They're meaningless. Now, as part of the Sunni Islamic resistance against Shiite Islam, they're meaningful, but only as part of the tribal and sect of Sunni Islam in Yemen against the ruling dictators. Other than that, and they're just, in, even in that regard, a minor cog in a larger wheel. Meaningless. American journalist Luke Summers, 33, and South African teacher Pierre Corky, 56, were shot and killed by their captors during the raid intended to free them. That's only partially true. We knew of one of the people there, not of the other. It was intended to free him. You know, the Abominator wants to come across as this wonderful commander-in-chief of orchestrating and approving marvelous raids. You didn't hear him come out and apologize for this, but he certainly would have taken credit had the American journalists been freed. Now, the fact is, for vastly less money than was squandered here, the American journalist's freedom could have been obtained for a pittance of what America squandered, seeing to it that he was killed. AQAP, formed in 2006 by the merger of Yemeni and Saudi branches of the network, wasn't a merger. There was no merger. AQAP was founded when an American Islamic cleric who preached in the San Diego area and then the Falls Church area around Virginia left for Yemen with his son to publish Inspire magazine. It is the magazine that helped inspire, if you will, Hassan, the Fort Hood mass murderer. It is what is the only link to a tactic by the underwear bomber that burned his britches on Christmas. But other than that, meaningless. Utterly and completely meaningless. You know, it's the United States has to create boogeymen, I guess, to justify its military. And even then, it's incapable of prevailing. Western governments fear advances by Shiite Muslim Houthi fighters with links to Iran have bolstered support among Yemeni Sunnis for AQLP, which has established itself in parts of Yemen, including the Shuaba, where the raids took place. Bull. But at least there, this journalist is at least close to sniffing the truth. The fact is that the government of Yemen is Sunni controlled. When America invaded Iraq, which was Sunni controlled, and gave it to the Shiites in Iran, it destabilized the region, and it caused the Shiites in Iran to increase their influence and their willingness to arm and to fund Shiite militants throughout the Middle East. And so, with Iran's support, now that Iran was no longer fighting Iraq, thanks to America's gift, the Shiite Muslim population in Yemen sought to terrorize the government, to seek freedom from the Sunni oppression that was being perpetrated upon them. And Sunnis have responded as they have in Syria and as they have in Iraq to attack the Shias. AQLP isn't something that is gaining support. It is just one of hundreds of fundamentalist Sunni militant organizations in Yemen fighting off the Shiite Houthi tribe, Mujahideen. That's all they are. Again, this is a religious civil war. America has no dog in this fight. We ought not support the Shiites that are being equipped by Iran to overthrow the government. That's stupid. And we ought not engage fighting the opponents of those Shiites. That too is stupid. And there is no way that you can resolve a 1,400-year religious conflict between Muslims with special forces, with drones. We can't resolve this problem. Now, an American that chooses to go to Yemen, to go to Saudi Arabia, to go to Syria, to go to Iraq, puts themselves in harm's way. If they wish to do so, they ought not expect that the government is going to come rescue them. And we ought not come rescue them. Now, if the United States wants to play like the rest of the world, and when the Muslims capture a journalist that ought not be in those places and buys their freedom, so be it. Well, rewarding kidnapping isn't a good thing, at least if we were confronted with it on a regular basis. Then there would be a tie between the kidnappers and the religion that condones kidnapping, Islam. That would be a good thing. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. The story is really particularly sad when we consider the fact that the South African teacher was about to be released. The dateline now is Johannesburg. South African Pierre Corky was just 24 hours from freedom after being held captive for 18 months. He was killed in the U.S. rescue attempt. Corky, who was killed along with the American hostage, Luke Summers. The America went in to get the American hostage, evidently, Luke Summers. And, well, it shouldn't happen. It just shouldn't happen. If you want to be a journalist and you want to cover Syria, Iraq, Yemen, you ought to understand the risk. It's kind of like the healthcare worker that decides that they want to go to, you know, Liberia. Go. If that's your calling, go. Just don't come back infected with the disease. You know, Islam is deadly. When I made the commitment to expose and condemn it in Tea with Terrorists and Prophet of Doom, I recognized that I was taking a risk. I knew that my government would do nothing, and I wanted my government to do nothing, to save me should Muslims act like Muslims. The Israeli government even had me sign a document which said that I recognized that there was no chance that they would be able to save me should the Muslims choose to kidnap me and hold me for ransom. And as an American, it is illegal to pay the ransom. which is why Americans face the worst lot when kidnapped. So here's a situation where a journalist who has been indoctrinated in a politically correct institution and can't tell right from wrong, is incapable of exercising good judgment, goes over to cover the news without any understanding of Islam's involvement in making the news. They want to associate the terrorist group with Al-Qaeda as opposed to Islam. They want to describe the carnage taking place in Yemen in terrorist terms as opposed to religious terms. And so they've gone in brainwashed. And as God has told us, ignorance isn't bliss. He says, my people are destroyed because they're ignorant, for lack of knowing. That's just the bottom line here. If you aren't capable of being judgmental, if you aren't capable of actually performing a valuable service by telling the truth, by getting to the root of the problem, you ought not go to these places. We don't need another person shoveling rubbish. And for God's sake, don't send in the troops. We are not the world's policemen. People die when we do so. And just think, in this particular case, we killed a small child. We killed a Muslim woman. We killed the two Westerners. It's sad. I mean, all of this is going to increase the carnage. It's not going to decrease it. When you're dealing with a religious foe and you attempt to resolve the problem with force, the faith is always enraged. It is impossible to prevail against a religious foe with force of arms. Religions are vulnerable to the truth. The same for Islam as it is for Christianity, as it is for Scientology, as it is for Mormonism. Religions are vulnerable. They fade away and die when exposed to the light, to truth. When their scriptures are exposed and their founders are condemned, then there is no sense of devotion. There's no reason for a person to sacrifice their lives killing for their God when it is shown for certain that the whole thing is a fraud. That's how you respond here. You know, if we were to isolate Islam, if we were to condemn Islam, we wouldn't have these problems. But we're just making bad situations worse. According to the Johannesburg media, a team of Yemeni leaders had met in Aden this very morning, and were the morning of the attack, and were preparing the final security and logistical arrangements related to the hostage release mechanisms to bring Pierre, this is the Pierre Corky, the teacher, to safety and freedom. This is the declaration of Imtiaz Suleiman, the founder of Gift of the Givers. It is even more tragic that the words were used in a conversation with Yolandi at 5:59 this morning, which was, the wait is almost over. Well, Corky is survived by his wife and by two children. He was kidnapped in the Yemeni city of Taiz in May of 2013, along with his wife, who was doing relief work there. She was released in January without a ransom as a result of negotiations by the South African relief group that employed her. However, the AQAP militants demanded $3 million for Corky's release, according to those close to the negotiations. Although the ransom demand was dropped considerably, and in fact was eliminated. The kidnappers simply requested a facilitation fee, and the undisclosed amount was raised by Corky's family and friends, according to the South African press agency. But now, thanks to the American gunslingers, he's dead. And so is a young boy. Consequence, folks. Dateline Washington. Foreign governments and U.S. intelligence agencies are now predicting that the release of a Senate report examining the use of torture by the CIA will cause violence and deaths abroad. This is from the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee Sunday. I got news for you, pal. If the truth about the abhorrent practices of the CIA, of its counterproductive work, which makes America more vulnerable rather than safer, if the violence and deaths attributed to the CIA becoming known causes violence and death, don't you think that was a foreseeable consequence of the behavior in the first place? If you don't want people to respond violently and to kill based upon the behavior of a government agency which used violence to elicit confessions, to try to get information, not unlike the Inquisition of the Roman Catholic Church, then you ought not have condoned the behavior in the first place. If the behavior of the CIA is so hideous, maybe it should be disbanded. If the behavior of the CIA is going to lead to violence and deaths abroad of Americans, then maybe you should figure out that the CIA is counterproductive, that it ought not be funded, that it is counterproductive. Think about that. And hiding from the truth doesn't resolve the problem. If you can't face reality, you'll never, ever be able to resolve the problem. The truth is the CIA is out of control. That the CIA is actually harmful to American security. That the CIA used torture. And in many cases, the CIA tortured innocent people. Not in some cases, in many cases. I mean, we ruthlessly sodomized them. I mean, we acted in ways that would make the Roman Catholics of the Inquisition blush. Representative Mike Rogers, a Michigan Republican, is regularly briefed on intelligence assessment. He told CNN State of the Union that U.S. intelligence agencies and foreign governments have said privately that the release of the report on CIA interrogations will be used by extremists to elicit and incite violence that is likely to cost lives. The 480-page report, a summary of a still-classified 6,000-page study, is expected to be made public next week. Yes, there's a 6,000-page study of the malfeasance of the American government, and particularly its CIA. It's been reduced to a 480-page summary. But about 7% of the report. And of course, it's still classified, not because there's anything, any information in there that would compromise American security. It's classified because it's embarrassing. That's why it's classified. It's classified for a singular reason. It's embarrassing. The truth is embarrassing. But the truth is almost universally embarrassing to Americans. Their government is not what they think it is. The CIA is not serving America. It is working against American interests. I think it's a terrible idea, Rogers said of the expected release, our foreign partners are telling us it will cause violence and deaths. Well, it's only because the CIA perpetrated violence and death. Foreign leaders have approached the government and said, you do this, you will cause violence and death. Our own intelligence community have assessed that this will cause violence and death. Well, of course, they don't want the report released. It's embarrassing to them. So what? Just sweep it under the rug. Maybe you could run this by the Foreign Intelligence Court. You know, the rubber stamp court that approves American agencies, particularly in the NSA, of completely avoiding the U.S. Constitution. We're a nation that says it won't negotiate with terrorists. And yet, we ourselves act like terrorists. I mean, there is very limited intel that tells us that the Western hostages held by the Islamic fundamentalists are being sodomized, are being tortured. And yet, that is what the American CIA did, as if they had the right to turn back the clock to the time of the Roman Catholic Inquisition. Torture does not work. A country that sanctions torture becomes despicable and immoral. It's time that we face the truth. A U.S. intelligence official is not authorized to be quoted discussing classified intelligence assessments that Congress had been warned of the heightened potential that the release could stimulate a violent response. I am genuinely concerned by that, said the Secretary of State and the Director of the National Intelligence Community. He also warned that the report's release could undermine cooperation between the U.S. and other countries on intelligence and counterterrorism. Yeah. You know, when you find out that your partner is a scumbag, you have a tendency to find a new partner. And that's what this report reveals, that America, in its intelligence community, within its military, is a nation of scumbags. Don't like to deal with violent scumbags. And when the nation that claims to be wearing the white hat, the nation that claims to coming to the rescue, the nation that is providing peace and security for the world, turns out to be the nation that is torturing those that it can detain, that kidnaps people from the street, incarcerates them, and then tortures them, that's not the kind of partner any sane or civilized nation wants to partner with. There are countries out there who have cooperated us in the war on terror. By the way, there is no war on terror. You can't fight a war against the tactic, but there is no intelligence within the intelligence community. At some political risk, who were relying on American discretion. Yeah, American discretion. We didn't have any. We were torturous. We were murderous. I can't imagine anyone out there going forward in the future who would be willing to do anything with us that even smacks of political danger. Guess why? We can't be trusted. Now, that's an accurate evaluation. When the truth is known, the truth is America cannot be trusted. On Friday, Secretary of State John Kerry urged the senator in charge of the report to consider the timing of the release. Through the Obama administration officials, though Obama administration officials say that they still support making it public. You know why? Because this program was authorized under the Bushwhacker administration. And so, when you have an administration that has been so abysmal, that has wiretapped the Associated Press, that has used the IRS as if they were a guard dog, an attack dog that has run guns for drug cartels in Mexico, that has deliberately lied about the Benghazi murders. When you have an administration that has been so inept, that has caused the very war in Syria that we are now bombing and fighting on behalf of both foes, that they need something to say, well, we may have our issues, but compared to the other guy, don't we look great? So by slathering Bush with this, and it is Bush's fault. Now, this was part of what we learned in Guantanamo, not in Guantanamo Bay, but in the prisons of Iraq. Remember when all the pictures were Abu Ghraib were released, and it showed Muslims being humiliated and tortured? And the fact is that we sent the underlings who were following orders to prison for following orders, and that the orders actually came from the Bush administration. The forever immoral one, the ignorant one, the slimy one, the disingenuous one, her name is Hillary Rotten Clinton, said that America should empathize and show respect for its enemies. Now, at this point in time, America is only fighting one foe. That would be the Islamic State and Muslims who are perpetrating acts of terrorism. That's it. So, now you look the world over where America has enemies. You know, America is not engaged fighting Russia, so you can disregard the Russians. America does not have troops out fighting the Chinese, so you can disregard them. We aren't fighting the North Koreans, so disregard them. Where is America engaged fighting? In Iraq, in Syria, in Yemen, recently in Somalia, not too long ago in Libya. And those are the only countries where America is engaged fighting a foe. Afghanistan. Those are it. What do all of those countries have in common? What does the foe that we engaged in each of those countries have in common? They're all Islamic countries. And the foe that we engaged in those countries was universally Islamic. So, this means that Hillary Clinton said America should empathize with Islam, that America should respect Islam. Well, I suppose that Hillary Clinton either is ignorant of Islam or she wants you to be misled regarding Islam. Now, I personally do not respect kidnap. I don't respect pedophilia. I don't respect rape. I don't respect the slave trade. I don't respect the use of terrorism. I don't respect the imposition of religion and the elimination of free will. I don't respect the complete disregard for a free press. I don't respect much of anything that occurs as a result of Islam. I don't respect Allah, who is modeled after Satan. I don't respect Muhammad, who was among the most repulsive people who ever lived. I don't respect the Quran. It is easily the worst book ever written. Now, if you want to respect the religion that has so deprived the people within these countries of freedom, of innovation, of prosperity, that's your call. But why should we empathize with Muslims? Why should we respect Islam? It's moronic. It shows that you have absolutely no understanding of the religion. Every battle that is being waged right now in the Islamic world is being fought on Sunni-Shia lines. That's it. It's Sunni-Shia. It's a civil war between the two dominant sects of Islam. Why should we respect that? Why should we empathize with that? What is to be gained by that? Wouldn't it be wiser, more morally appropriate, more expedient to, instead of respecting Islam, to expose it and condemn it, to say that a religion that promotes terrorism and mass murder and deceit and kidnapping for ransom and slavery and decapitation and selling little girls into sexual bondage, a religion that promotes genital mutilation, that such a religion is harmful, that it is appropriate to disrespect it? And I pity Muslims. Muslims are the first victims of Islam. We ought to feel sorry for them in the sense that they have been bamboozled. But my God, we don't want to respect it. It is a sad day when American politicians, leading American politicians, say such stupid things. We'll be back after the news and commercial break.